Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Magic in Your Genes, your personal path to ancestor work, bringing together the science of DNA with the timeless power of ritual and spellcraft. By Carol Crow. Narrated by Carrie Coelho. Publisher's note. This audiobook contains bonus material. Please visit Tantor.com and type The Magic in Your Genes into the search box. Follow the link to the book's page. Then, under the supplemental content section, please enter the access code TREE and then click the unlock button to access the bonus material. The code should be entered in all lowercase letters. All visuals referenced in this audiobook can be found in the bonus material. Introduction. Right here, right now, this is precious. This is life. You're alive. Somehow, all of the genetic material of all of those thousands of ancestors came together in the perfect combination to make you, exactly as you are. That's magical. It's the greatest kind of magic I know, our very existence. Loretta Lost, the Fireproof Girl. Genealogy is magical. Within it lies the opportunity to engage in research that results in the potential discovery of an interrelatedness with all the peoples of the world, and to gain a feeling of profound connection to the constellation of humanity. There is room for everyone on this path of magic. Envision a beautiful tree, fluttering with the leafy papers of lives lived, births and deaths, arrivals and departures, connections, news and stories, roots buried deep in the earth in which the tree stands, much as we stand now on the shoulders of our ancestors. As it is with trees in nature, so it is in genealogy that each tree must have the proper resources to grow to its fullest potential. For many hundreds of years, people have written down family histories and lineages, and kept records that allow us now to glean bits of information through diligent investigation of those historical documents. Despite the near-endless variety of people researching their ancestral roots, every person's tree has one thing in common. There is a precise order in which our genealogical ancestors and their branches are arranged. For a lucky few, traditional paper genealogy research yields many branches filled with ancestral leaves that are brimming with vestiges of lives past. For most others, several or more branches are less obvious, the leaves sparse, and the work of discovery is challenging. Some, whether through adoption or another circumstance that has rendered their branches invisible or inaccessible, see only themselves, and their ancestral explorations are extremely difficult or even impossible with traditional methods. Genetic genealogy has changed the way many genealogists approach their research, and thankfully, direct-to-consumer genealogical DNA testing has now leveled the field, and even the most difficult mysteries can usually be solved. Every one of us, those with ample family history resources, those with none, and all in between, can send in a saliva sample, with the expectation that results will grant the knowledge needed to create and grow an accurate genealogical family tree based on truth and facts. Magical indeed. I believe it is vitally important for each one of us to do genealogical DNA testing to accurately document our genealogical, genetic, and chosen ancestral lines to the best of our ability, and to follow the most current ethics, guidelines, and standards to build a family story that is based on truth. One day, a descendant, and by this I don't just mean genetic offspring, will look at your tree, and they'll be so thankful for the chance to get to know you long after you're gone, much as we look now to discover the stories of our own ancestors. For those of us who walk the razor's edge between the evidence-based nature of genealogy and the intangible, magical essence of our own sacred divine, the blending of traditional and genetic genealogical research with our own spiritual and creative preferences occurs naturally as we do the work of searching for ancestral kindred. Genealogy and magic, while vastly different, do not have to be mutually exclusive. The combination of the two is unbelievably powerful and manifests a connection that is breathtaking and life-changing. Using personal magic opens a door that is not accessible otherwise, and the view through it is extraordinary. You will see familiar faces that have shaped your idea of yourself as a magical person, and you will encounter new faces that will open unexpected paths and round out your magical practice in a profound way. Sometimes events have transpired that make traditional genealogy research difficult or undesirable. The most common that I've encountered over many years of genealogy work is adoption. The second is the discovery that a parent, usually a father, is not the genetic parent. One of the effects of collective trauma on groups of people is having to do genealogy research within the confines of non-existent, altered, or destroyed documentation of ancestors. There is also a misconception that the pursuit of biological, genetic-based genealogy is the only way to do genealogy work. This is not so. There are countless people who have chosen to remove themselves from the harmful or hurtful, or both, ramifications of a toxic biological family, or who may have been expelled from one for any number of reasons, who have created a beautiful family woven together with the bonds of acceptance and love. There are also those who feel very connected to the family into which they were brought by way of adoption or another situation, and they don't wish to pursue a genetic angle to their genealogy. We get our personal power from many places, and the genealogical family of origin is only one source. Genealogy is the kind of magic that offers something for every scenario, and we each get to choose how we want to approach it. Every perspective, when researched well and documented properly, is valid. It is my sincere belief that everyone, especially those who do their genealogy work strictly outside the genealogical family, should also consider doing work within the realm of ancestral healing. I assure you, that does not mean you must make space in your head for those who've hurt you. It doesn't mean forgiveness or acceptance of bad behavior. You don't have to talk with anyone or open yourself up to further discomfort. You don't have to dismiss those in your life to whom you are close, be they genealogical or chosen family. What it does mean, in every scenario, is that there are ways to reach past the living, to travel to the land of the ancestors, to find connection to ancestral roots that go beyond the current incarnation of hurt and pain. You can walk a path of pride in your heritage while simultaneously living within your own boundaries as you do the hard work of healing. When you find a path to healing, you adjust your lineage permanently, and this has a positive effect on future generations. It's important work, even for those who do not have genetic offspring, and instead will one day become ancestors of influence. A big dilemma I encountered while writing this book was how to best use pronouns, X and Y DNA descriptors, the words she, he, female and male, as they relate to biology and people. Standard genealogy terms like maternal, paternal, mother and father, and the words woman and man, while also being inclusive. For any genealogist, it is essential to be clear and consistent with the use of standardized phrases, wording, definitions, terms, explanations, and references, so that the science that underlies genealogy can be easily understood, as it is presented in currently available educational and other materials. It is also my heartfelt belief that genealogy is amorphous, like an ocean mist at the seashore, and it covers every person with a blanket of acceptance. No matter how we identify, or how the circumstances of our birth are defined, we each have unique family stories that are worthy of research and discovery. Genealogy is open to all races, ethnicities, genders, sexes, sexual preferences, religious and spiritual beliefs, physical and mental abilities, circumstances of birth and beyond. Genealogy magic is for everyone. In that mindset, then, I decided to reach out for help and clarification with my writing. I spoke with magical people within the LGBTQIA+ community, adult adoptees, those descended from enslaved persons, and others who feel disenfranchised and believe there is no room for them within the framework of genealogy. I asked questions, was corrected as needed, gently, thank you, regarding my own misunderstandings and misconceptions, and subsequently made changes in my writing. While I worked hard to find a balance, to share a variety of stories and scenarios, and to write in a way that I hope is more inclusive, I am also sure that the wording still isn't perfect and will not suit each person's individual lived reality. In my experience, most, if not all, books on genealogy use hetero and cis-focused language. It's the way people historically have been taught, and it's how many relate to the overall concepts. However, genealogy is always in flux. Leaders within the genealogy community are working hard to evolve old and tired concepts, and changes are actively taking place that ultimately will achieve the result that each person who works in genealogy's realm will feel their place in this world of documenting humanity is rooted within their own lived experience. It is a process, of course, and there is a long way to go. It is my sincerest hope, however, that those who have felt marginalized in the past will see the efforts being made by so many and will feel valued and part of a community that is meant to include us all. It is true that science can sometimes feel unassailable. It's also essential to remember that, while our chromosomes may categorize us to some extent, they do not rigidly define us. Humanity exists on a glorious spectrum, and we define ourselves. As you listen to this book, please know that every noun, pronoun, and adjective was written with the thought that there is more than one way to apply it, or not apply it, and I encourage you to mentally rearrange what needs moving so that the words reflect the truth of your individual story. To give you a taste of the struggles and successes that are possible within the realm of genealogy magic, I've included my DNA adventures, examples of client research challenges and results, and snippets of stories shared by beloveds from the magical community. Except for my own immediate family, names have been changed, or are not mentioned, for privacy. I have also included information on DNA basics, testing and results, research and documentation, that should allow you to gain enough of an understanding to do entry-level work on your own DNA testing results and family tree. However, in order to increase your scope beyond the most basic entry level, you will need to actively seek out other learning opportunities to further your knowledge and ensure you're making the most of all the information and tools that are available. Don't feel like you need an advanced degree, or that you need to pay a lot of money to do genealogy work. For starters, the library is an excellent resource for genealogy books, and the librarians offer a wealth of knowledge as well. There are also plenty of groups online that offer mentoring and help with problem solving, and hundreds of classes that go into more detail about a variety of topics within genealogy. Many of them are low cost or free. I believe that magic is the icing on the cake of genealogy, as it allows us to apply the energetic parts of ourselves to our work, and it opens a cosmic connection to those from whom we descend. However, the more traditional aspects of genealogy methodology must serve as the foundation so that we have a practical way to apply our knowledge, document our stories, and leave behind our legacy for those who will be arriving in our world at some point in the near or far future. As you look for and connect with those who have come and gone, I encourage you to use your words, your creativity, and your magic to tell your stories. Take the magical suggestions within this book and make them your own. Reach deep within and trust your own spiritual and creative inclinations, whatever they may be, to bring light to your path of discovery. It should be noted that within the realm of using personal magic and creative expression with genealogy, also comes the responsibility to maintain research standards that allow results to withstand scrutiny and to be useful for descendants in the future who seek us, their ancestors. Whether your genealogy story is one told of genealogical and genetic connections, or one of a family created by choice, genealogy can be spiritual, magical, fun, and creative. But it should also be nonfiction, even if the story isn't always pretty. The work of searching will likely be extremely tedious and frustrating, too. And it does every genealogist well to remember that eventually, our perseverance will yield a most precious gift, profound and meaningful ancestral connections, and the precious knowledge needed to document genealogical truths in a manner of our choosing. May you find those whom you seek. May your truths be heard. And may your genealogy journey be filled with magic along the way. 1. Preparing for your genealogy journey. All journeys have secret destinations of which the traveler is unaware. Martin Buber. Choosing to embark on any journey requires preparation and planning, and the path of genealogy magic is no different. I've always been of the firm belief that my magic lies within. I don't do the magic, I am the magic. And I know I can do whatever magic I need to do with only myself. However, my path is a lot more enjoyable and fulfilling for me if I'm able to have certain tools with which to work, and when I'm surrounded by a beautiful aesthetic. I'm a very visual person, and I love sitting within, or next to, a warm and inviting space that I've created with joy and intention. I love crafting oils and incense blends, dressing candles, decorating altars, playing in the garden, and working closely with nature and the moon, sun, and stars. We are blessed to exist in our human form on a planet infused with magic and energy beyond our comprehension, and to use these goddess-given gifts as part of a magical practice is essential for me. When I first began my genealogy journey, my initial approach was messy and slapdash. I had no plan. "Who needs a plan?" said this dramatic Leo sun with the impulsive Aries moon. There was no contingency for what I should do if things went sideways. Actually, I didn't even know things could go awry in genealogy, likely because I stepped into it from a very privileged position. White, cisgender, straight, unrestricted access to my birth record, and raised with genealogical family. For many years, I wandered all around cyberspace, squandered time on frivolous research, scribbled bits of info in random notebooks and on other scraps of paper which often got lost, and half the time I forgot where I'd been online and what I wanted to do. I wasted time, replicated research, and overall, it just wasn't a good way to work. I also randomly included magic in my genealogy endeavors, but again, there was no plan, no organization. In 2013, I decided to begin the journey in earnest to discover my adopted husband's roots and his genealogical family of origin. He'd tested with 23andMe, and among his health results came the surprise that he carries a genetic mutation for cystic fibrosis, CF, which is a disease of the lungs that is historically fatal by midlife, and, if two carriers reproduce, can be passed down to genetic offspring. As a medical professional of many years, this startled me terribly, as my husband and I share children and grandchildren, and CF is a hereditary disease. Although none of them had been diagnosed with CF, they could be carriers, and if they were, one day my grandchildren might have a child with someone who is also a carrier, and possibly pass down this terrible disease. In years prior, my husband and I had toyed around with trying to find his genealogical family of origin, and we occasionally engaged in half-hearted attempts, but he didn't really feel a strong pull to find out more. With the revelation of this genetic mutation, we both felt an urgent need to learn about his 50% of our children's genetics. I also realized that my approach had to be different this time, methodical, organized, and practical, instead of sloppy and impulsive. And so I decided to apply the principles of my daily magical practice to genealogy. It said that to create a habit, one must do something daily for an average of 66 days. I'd reinvented my spiritual routine a few years before starting my own genealogy magic journey, after sitting at the feet of a wise teacher who stressed the importance of a daily practice as an integral part of walking a magical path. The process of manifesting that comforting magical routine in my life served as my starting point for my determination to do genealogy the right way, and to include a core part of myself, my magic. I drafted a plan and set goals. I started using a journal to document my journey. I bought software to help me keep track of sources as I placed people on my tree. I incorporated a fixed set of magical tools and a routine for their use in my daily genealogy work. I gave myself permission to venture outside the boundaries of my routine only after I'd done the planned bits first, and I blessed my endeavor to journey into my family's genealogy with a ritual of beginning. My commitment to my genealogy started as a concerted effort, and then morphed into a routine that is much more beneficial overall. Magical supplies for starting your genealogy magic journey. While it is true that the only thing you really need for magic is yourself, it's always nice to have a few intentionally chosen supplies on hand. When I set out on my new and improved genealogy journey, I thought about the items I used frequently. I am an impulsive, grab-whatever's-at-hand sort when it comes to doing magical work, so it was a bit challenging to think about, then write down, how I tossed little bits of magic into my genealogy. It took some time, but I was finally able to make a fairly complete list. From that, I created a toolbox of sorts, from which I can select what I need, depending on the task at hand. As you begin your journey, consider creating your own genealogy magic toolbox. It doesn't have to physically be an actual toolbox, of course, but perhaps you might like to keep these items in a drawer, or, like me, a basket. Keeping them separate from your other magical supplies will help to keep them charged for the intent of using them for genealogy, and there's always the convenience of having them in one location. Here is a starter list of suggested items. Feel free to incorporate your own preferred items as well. Invest in a beautiful journal to the best of your financial ability and preference. If I had to make only one suggestion, this would be it. A notebook is fine too. That is what I use for much of my own work, especially the scribbly stuff I produce while actively researching that eventually gets transcribed into sensible writing. In addition to providing you with a place to document your feelings, insights, and intuitive ponderings along the way, a journal is also a place where you can record your research plans, keep a to-do list, and keep track of the websites you've visited, along with your discoveries. Some people choose to use multiple journals, one for reflection and another for the documentation aspects. Choose what you think will work best for you, but starting out with one journal is fine. I also suggest keeping a selection of pens, markers, and highlighters on hand. If you're a technology sort, a cyber journal might work best for you, although I still do suggest keeping a paper and pen journal of some sort. Sometimes there's no replacement for the physical act of writing. Create a sacred space in which to do your magic and ritual. This sacred space can be temporary, such as clearing off an end table in your living room and resetting it when you're done. This is especially good for scenarios like roommates, or for homes that have frequent visitors, and when privacy is desired. The sacred space can also be a permanent, dedicated space reserved just for your genealogy work, or it can take up a section of another altar on which you do other work. Define the boundaries of your sacred space with an altar cloth. I've found this key ingredient necessary for me with any sacred space in which I work. It's simply a piece of cloth that is used on top of a surface to serve as a base on which other magical items will sit. I have a selection of square cloths that I use. However, my preferred is a vintage, ornately embroidered table runner that I found at a yard sale. Its beauty adds to the ambiance of my space, and I like how it gives me the feeling of another time. Keep at least one candle on hand. Depending on the work to be done, I use a chime or spell candle, taper candle, 7-day candle, or a pillar candle. Tea lights are also handy for quick work. If you must choose only one candle, get a 7-day candle, as this is what you will light each time you do genealogy. I feel it's the safest kind of candle, as it's self-contained and usually works for any space. It's also a bit more cat-resistant, but depending on the cat, your mileage may vary. Use crystals to manifest a magical vibe. As fragments of the earth, they speak to me of times gone by, of ancient history, and they offer a way to connect through their energy. Each crystal is its own resonator, and I'd even venture to say, has its own personality. It's likely that many listeners will have at least one crystal already, and you might have one in mind. For those who want a suggestion, I propose a clear quartz palm stone as the first crystal in your genealogy magic toolbox. I use a crystal quartz palm stone as a centerpiece in the ancestral grids I construct, which will be covered later, and I like to hold it while meditating. I also hold it to infuse it with intent prior to magical work. Simply with its presence on an altar, it serves as a cleanser of energy and an amplifier of magic. Remember to cleanse your stone on a regular basis, with moonlight, sunlight, salt, or a quick rinse in running water, and then pat dry. I like to put mine on the windowsill when the moon is full. I set it there with the intention that it be cleared of any accumulated negativity and recharged with positive energy. For those who prefer not to work with crystals, look instead for flowers, rocks, and other natural items that resonate with you. Finally, on this starter list of magical tools are a clearing spray and an anointing oil. I find it helps me focus my intention when I cleanse the energy of my space with a clearing spray and use an anointing oil on my candle prior to lighting it. They set the mood for the space with both energy and intent. When it comes to genealogy magic, my first go-to is always rosemary, Salvia rosmarinus. It's my favorite because it is simultaneously clearing, protective, and its scent physically triggers the brain's memory center. Well known as the herb of remembrance, it, of course, smells fantastic. You can buy pre-made spray and oil from many places online and in person, but I've always enjoyed the ones I've made with my own hands. Recipes and rituals. If you feel inclined to craft your own, here are two basic recipes for spray and oil. Feel free to change up the recipe in a way that feels best for your own magic, and please do so especially if you have a known sensitivity to rosemary or its essential oil. Some people choose to wear gloves when working with essential oils. I will leave that decision to you. Prior to your blending, light a small candle and say, "Bless these hands, and bless the work they are about to do. Infuse this spray oil with the energies needed to manifest powerful magic, and serve the highest good for all. May it be so." Rosemary Clearing Spray. Ingredients and materials. Glass bottle with spray cap, 4-ounce capacity. Distilled water, 2 ounces. Witch hazel, 2 ounces. Rosemary essential oil, 27 drops. Rosemary sprig, dried, optional. Isopropyl alcohol and a cloth or napkin. Funnel. Instructions. If you're going to use it, insert the dried rosemary sprig into the glass bottle. Add the rosemary essential oil. Using the funnel, add the distilled water and witch hazel to the glass bottle. Cap the glass bottle and gently rotate. Wash your hands, then wipe down the outside of the bottle with isopropyl alcohol to disperse any oil on the outside. Be sure to give the bottle a gentle shake prior to each use. As you spray your sacred space for clearing, do so with the intention that the space will be cleared of negativity and a welcoming, open space will be created. Rosemary anointing oil. Ingredients and materials. Carrier oil of your choice, 1 ounce, approximately 2 teaspoons. My favorite.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?